You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, we've begun a series of lectures here on the Holy Trinity in the book of Acts. And we looked at how the Holy Trinity is revealed to us, taught to us, that we would believe, we would confess, and we would teach what God Himself gives us to hold on to. The God Himself is one true divine essence, eternal. And yet at the same time, the Lord reveals Himself to be distinct in three persons, the eternal Father, the eternal Son, and the eternal Spirit. So in the book of Acts, we see all three persons of the Blessed Trinity actively involved in the proclamation of salvation, the reconciliation between sinners and the Creator. So we've looked at these various passages that make and teach this distinction. And in today's lecture in particular, we'll look at the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, teaching us that the Holy Spirit is not just some mere force or some kind of a power or an ooze that comes from the divine reality, but instead, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Blessed Trinity, a person who speaks, teaches, and does, and acts. And so we'll look at how all three persons of the Trinity bring salvation to us in this fallen world. So let's begin in chapter 4 of Acts, starting at verse 24. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, Why did the Gentiles rage, and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together, against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. So this is Acts chapter 4, verses 24 through 28. And so again, first we take note that what Paul is doing is he's quoting from the Old Testament scriptures. In particular, he's quoting from Psalm 2. And so we learn quite a bit about the Trinity just in this quotation from Psalm 2. First, we learn that Psalm 2 itself is where the Holy Spirit speaks through the servant David. David, in this prophetic office, proclaims the coming kingdom through his son, that his son would be greater than him, that his son would be his Lord. And so David, of course, proclaims by the Holy Spirit these things to happen. And so this, of course, teaches us throughout the Old Testament scriptures, you have the Holy Spirit at work through the mouth of the apostles, proclaiming and teaching and revealing to us, actively involved, teaching us, in particular, to make a distinction between the Father and the Son. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But of course, when the Holy Spirit is the one who's teaching us distinction between the first and the second person of the Trinity, every time that the Holy Spirit does this, he's teaching us to make a distinction in the plurality of persons between the first and the second person, and of course the Holy Spirit himself being the third person of the Blessed Trinity. So we keep that in mind when we look at these passages. So let's look at Acts chapter 4, verse 24. What takes place here is the apostles Peter and John were just released, and so the people of God were rejoicing that the message of Christ is now given free course. And so here we have the response of the people of God, which says this, And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, Now let's just pause there and take this passage and look and see what is being taught to us. Now first of all, you have this distinction made between God and the Holy Spirit. So the distinction is that God is the one that is being spoken to directly, being referred to as Sovereign Lord. Now, of course, Sovereign Lord is from this Greek word, which is despotes, meaning a ruler and owner. So this petition is to the one true God, who is the ruler and owner of all things, the one who created all things. And this God, as the text goes on to say in this petition, made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Now we know in the book of Genesis chapter 1 that God is the creator of all things. And also in Genesis chapter 1, we are created to make a distinction between God, who was there in the beginning, and the Spirit of God, who was likewise eternally there in the beginning, creating all things. For the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And so here we have the same type of a distinction being made between two persons. The person of God, specifically the first person, and God, the third person, the Holy Spirit. So as God was in the beginning and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, now we're speaking to God, the Father. Now, in this prayer, they are speaking to the Father and declaring to the Father how the Holy Spirit spoke through the mouth of David, the servant of God. And the Holy Spirit spoke through the mouth of David the words of Psalm 2. And so here's where, again, we're learning this distinction as we follow the text and see the flow. The people in the prayer are praying to the Father, referring to how the Holy Spirit has spoken, and now they're going to quote the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says this in Psalm 2 through the mouth of David. Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. So now further again, we have the Holy Spirit is the one who is speaking through the mouth of David. He's the third person of the Trinity, which we have a distinction being taught here between the one speaking and now the one he is speaking about, so that the Gentiles are gathered against the Lord. But not only is it against the Lord, a distinction is made between the Lord and between the Lord's anointed one. Now, the anointed one is the Christ. We get this from the Hebrew, Mashiach, and it comes to us in the Greek, Christos, and we say Christ. He is the anointed one, the Messiah. And so you have a distinction between the Holy Spirit who is speaking about the Lord, okay, the Father specifically here, because a distinction is made between the Holy Spirit and the Father and about the Son, because the distinction is made between the Lord and his anointed. And so in this petition, we're quoting from the Old Testament, from Psalm 2, and then they make the commentary interpreting this psalm that was talked about through the mouth of the prophet David that actually was fulfilled in the days of Pentecost, in the days of Jerusalem, in the days of the apostles. And so the commentary now goes on about this psalm and its fulfillment, saying this, "For truly in this city, Jerusalem, there were gathered together against your holy servant, Jesus." Now again, the petition is being spoken to the Father, and the same distinction is being made as was taught in Psalm 2, that the servant is Jesus, distinct from the Father, the holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. So again, the Father is the one who anointed the Son. He anointed the Son with the Holy Spirit, who is the anointing. And so in this interpretation of Psalm 2, we have the people of God proclaiming that these things were fulfilled in Jerusalem when Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, gathered against Christ, the anointed one, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And so again, in this we learn to make this distinction between the plurality of the persons of the Trinity. The one that is being spoken to is the Father, And then the one who is being quoted is the Holy Spirit who spoke of old and who is now speaking through the apostles in these days of the Acts of the Apostles. And what are they speaking about? The rejection of the Anointed One, the Christ who would be crucified, the Christ who would be rejected by his own people. And that the nations themselves, the Gentiles, would have a hand in this, putting him to death and cutting him off from the land of the living. It is the person of the Holy Spirit who is speaking through the mouth of David the prophet. So throughout the Old Testament scriptures, the Holy Spirit speaks through the prophets of old. But in the New Testament scriptures, what we have is the same Holy Spirit working through the apostles who have been sent out by the Lord. The apostles are teaching and revealing because the Holy Spirit is teaching and revealing to them and through them to teach us about Jesus. That yes, Jesus was handed over to death, but Jesus did not stay in the grave. He is risen from the dead, conquering death. The whole reason that the apostles Peter and John were imprisoned in chapter 4 of Acts was because of their proclamation of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So chapter 4 had began with the Sadducees, who did not believe in the resurrection, were annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming that in Jesus is the resurrection from the dead. And this is why they were arrested. Now in the late 4th century, John Chrysostom, a pastor of the church in those days, proclaimed this message of Christ crucified and risen for our justification to those who were gathered by the Holy Spirit to hear. And in his 10th homily on Acts chapter 4, he writes and he says this about this passage, specifically how the Sadducees were annoyed. He says this, "It's not merely because they taught, but because they declared not only that Christ himself was raised from the dead, but moreover, that we, through him, do also rise again. It's because they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So mighty was his resurrection that to others also he is the cause of their resurrections." And so this was the message that John Chrysostom was proclaiming to his people in the late 4th century, which was the same message that the apostles were proclaiming in the days after Pentecost, through which the Holy Spirit was working to bring faith, teaching Jesus as the resurrection and the life, teaching that Jesus was more than merely a man who died a martyr's death, that he is the author and the creator of all things, the one who brought life into existence, and the one who brings life where there is death. And as in Acts chapter 10, verse 36 says, "As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." This was the message that the Sadducees and the religious leaders could not stand. This message that not only is Christ the resurrection, but Christ is very God himself. The one who brings life was the very one that they put to death. But it's the Holy Spirit who comes to those who are spiritually dead to bring spiritual life. It's the Holy Spirit who opens eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to believe the apostolic message. It's the same life-giving Spirit who spoke through the mouth of the prophets of old in the Old Testament days, who is speaking through the mouth of the apostles in the days of the New Testament. So that the message of the apostles in this book of Acts is that just Jesus, whom you crucified, is not dead, but he lives, and he is still actively present, bringing life where there is death. For he is the resurrection and the life. And not only that, but he continues to speak and he sends the Holy Spirit. He pours it out upon those who hear the word. And so this takes place, for instance, in Acts chapter 9, where a new apostle is added. For the Lord of the harvest himself is the one who sent out the apostles, the one who sent out the 11 on the night in which he was betrayed and gave to them the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that is. And likewise, now he is going to send out the apostle Paul, an apostle to the Gentiles. So Luke writes, Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now this is Acts chapter 9, verse 17. Here the distinction is made between the Son, who is referred to as the Lord Jesus, and the person of the Holy Spirit. The resurrected Son appoints Saul to be an apostle. He then fills Saul with the Holy Spirit, just as he did the other apostles on the day of Pentecost. He gave to them the promise of the Father. So that in the New Testament scriptures, when we're taught about the giving of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as the Father sent the Son, both the Father and the Son will send the Holy Spirit. This is the promise of the Father, and the promise of the Father the Son himself gives. He gives the Holy Spirit, who comes to work amongst the apostles to speak through them, to glorify the Son. And so we have this whole connection here between all three persons of the Holy Trinity working to bring reconciliation and salvation to a fallen world that's condemned because of sin. The Father sends the Son, the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit. And so now the Son sends out the Apostle Paul with the Holy Spirit to proclaim salvation in the name of Jesus alone. Now, if you look back at Acts chapter 8, we also learn how the Holy Spirit is actively involved as he is speaking to Philip. He's speaking to Philip so that Philip then can speak to the Ethiopian eunuch. Luke writes this in Acts chapter 8. And Philip arose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, Go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah, the prophet, and asked, Do you understand what you are reading? So this is Acts chapter 8, verse 27 through 30. So now a lot of things are taking place here. First of all, we note that the Holy Spirit is not some kind of an ooze or just some kind of a force, some kind of a feeling, that the Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the Trinity who speaks, who teaches, who reveals, who leads, who directs Philip. So the Holy Spirit talks to Philip as one person would talk to another person. The Holy Spirit instructs Philip so that Philip, then, filled with the Holy Spirit, can instruct the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, secondarily, we also learn how the Holy Spirit spoke through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah, teaching about Jesus, and how Philip now is being sent so that the Holy Spirit could speak through his mouth to reveal to this Ethiopian eunuch the fulfillment of what Isaiah said. For it's the same Spirit who spoke about the promise of an event and of a person that would take place, and now it's the same Holy Spirit who will speak through Philip, proclaiming the person and the event that has taken place in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, born of the Virgin Mary, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, who was dead, who was buried, who has now been raised from the dead. And so, without this information that the Holy Spirit would reveal, the Ethiopian eunuch would never know exactly how this could be fulfilled. Another example of the Holy Spirit speaking is found in Acts chapter 10, where the Holy Spirit speaks to Peter. Luke gives us this account starting at verse 19. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. Now, this is Acts chapter 10, verses 19 through 20. Now, again, you have Peter who has received this vision from God, and it is now the Holy Spirit who is teaching him, who is directing him, who is leading him to three men that Peter himself does not know about. And not only that, but the Holy Spirit himself speaks, saying that he's the one who has sent these three men to Peter. So again, this is not just some kind of a fuzzy feeling or some kind of a force out there. The Holy Spirit is a person who speaks, who is intelligent, who teaches. I mean, likewise, we see this in Acts chapter 13, where Luke gives us this account of the Holy Spirit speaking to the Apostle Paul. And so starting at verse 1, we read, "Now there were in the church in Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Mananean, a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" This is Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 2. Again, you have the people who are gathered together, who now have access to the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit. And so they are declaring the Lord's praise, they are bowing down before him, they're praying, they're fasting, they're listening to the word, and then the Holy Spirit speaks to them, speaks to them directly and says, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul." So here the Holy Spirit is directing them what to do, and he's also making it clear that he himself, the Holy Spirit, has called them. He has decided that they will be sent to do the task that the Holy Spirit will have them do, that they will proclaim Christ. And as they are set apart, the Holy Spirit himself will give them the ability and the strength to speak these words, so that these words would be efficacious, bringing spiritual life where there is spiritual death. You see, in such passages, we learn that the Holy Spirit is directly involved in the preaching of the gospel to all nations. The Holy Spirit is glorifying Jesus just like he promised. Again, in Acts chapter 21, the Holy Spirit is actively speaking and teaching, directing and leading the early church. So in Acts chapter 21, verse 3 through 4, we read this. "When we had come in sight of Cyprus, leaving it on the left, we sailed to Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload its cargo. And having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days. And through the Spirit, they were telling Paul not to go on to Jerusalem." So this is Acts chapter 21, verses 3 through 4. So you have individuals speaking, and it's the Holy Spirit who is speaking through them to the Apostle Paul. Further, in the same chapter, at verse 11, we have more information about this. It says, "And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, 'Thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.' When we heard this, we and the people there urged him not to go up to Jerusalem." So this is Acts chapter 21, verses 11 through 12. Now again, you have these prophets coming to Paul, and instead of saying, "Thus says Yahweh," specifically these prophets say, "Thus says the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is Yahweh. The Holy Spirit is the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is now the one who is speaking, revealing to them these future events that would take place. And so again, this is not some kind of a fuzzy feeling or some type of a powerful force. Instead, this is the third person of the Holy Trinity. This is God himself. The Holy Spirit is God. Likewise, we hear this in the last chapter of Acts, in chapter 28. Here Paul reiterates to the people of God that when the Lord spoke in the old days of the Old Testament through the prophets, it was the Holy Spirit who spoke. So that when the Lord speaks to their forefathers, it's the Holy Spirit who is speaking to their forefathers. Specifically in Acts chapter 28, verse 25, he says this, the Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will indeed hear but never understand, and you will indeed see but never perceive. But this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. This is Acts chapter 28, verses 25 through 27. So here the Apostle Paul is saying the Holy Spirit spoke through Isaiah the prophet, as he quotes from Isaiah chapter 6. This is the Holy Spirit teaching. The Holy Spirit was the one guiding and leading the church in the days of the apostles. It's the same Holy Spirit who was guiding and leading Israel in the days of the prophet Isaiah, both in the same place in the city of Jerusalem. You see, in the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we are told about what our Lord Jesus Christ said and did. Now in the book of Acts, we are told what the Holy Spirit said and did. But of course, don't get me wrong, it's not as if the Holy Spirit wasn't present and didn't do anything in the Gospels, just like it's not as if Jesus isn't present and doing things in the book of Acts. But in the book of Acts, in particular, we have the fulfillment of the words of Jesus that the Comforter would come. The other Comforter. For Jesus himself is one Comforter, and the Holy Spirit is another Comforter. And so in the book of Acts, we have the coming of the Holy Spirit just as Jesus had said, to do one thing, to open eyes that don't see, to open ears that cannot hear, and to open hearts that will not believe. And how does the Holy Spirit do this? By the proclamation of Christ. The message of Christ dying on the cross for our sin and Christ rising again to newness of life for our salvation. Of course, Luke already told us in Acts chapter 20 that Paul was well aware of what the Holy Spirit was revealing through these prophets. The Holy Spirit himself made this clear to Paul that he would suffer persecution for the name's sake of Jesus. And so back in Acts chapter 20, verse 21, Paul gathers together the elders of Ephesus, those who will be successors to the apostles, to proclaim Jesus, making disciples. And he says to them that he was testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. Now that's Acts chapter 20, verses 21 through 23. Again, note that there is a distinction made between the Father and the Son. The apostolic teaching brings both Jews and Greeks to repentance toward God, the Father, and to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that Paul goes on to say in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. Now, first of all, from this passage, take note that it is through the blood of God that the church has been obtained. Here, Jesus is being declared to be God. Only through the holy incarnation, in which God takes upon flesh and blood, can the blood of God purchase the church. The Father does not have blood to pour out for the sins of the world. Only the Son does. The Son is God who has purchased a church with his own blood. Now, secondly, take note that it's the Holy Spirit who has made these pastors overseers, that is, bishops. For it is the Holy Spirit who continues to be active in the life of the church for the successors of the apostles up to our day, so that disciples will be made by teaching and baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, And may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.